Good morrow and welcome to the Flex Podcast. I'm Anna, and I've just had to smash the caffeine in, so I'm mentally and physically prepared to get some words out in a sentence, which is obviously quite the challenge on a Monday morning, which is what it is right now. Okay, today we are talking about when you feel like you're doing everything but nothing's changing. And we're going to talk about it in terms of three different goals that a lot of my clients might have. So one of them is scale weight, because I do have people who are trying to lose some body fat and so on. Then we've got fitness goals for muscle. So either putting on a bit, you know, packing on a bit more muscle, or simply just feeling stronger or more toned. And then people who've got a cardio goal, which for a lot of my clients tends to be something like they're trying to do a run, or maybe they're trying to get back into a sport they used to play, for example. So we're going to talk about it in terms of all these things, because it can be really frustrating and it can be really easy to think, oh, well, this just isn't working for me. Like, I've tried my best, it's just not working for me. So back to whatever diet gang or whatever. I've got my legs on some really risky stacks of books. So if you suddenly hear a crash, it's because all the crap I've rested my feet on falls to the floor. But yeah, what I don't want you to do is ever to think that what you're doing to try to improve your health and wellness isn't working for you. You know that sentence people say, oh, this worked for me, and it was like some extreme diet or a shake diet or something where they had to pay every week to go to a group or have weigh-ins and people shouted at them, and kind of like the negative experiences and the things that we have in our head that work when we're a part of it, but when we're not a part of it, it no longer works. That's always been a really important thing for me to try to get rid of for people. And it isn't that I don't think that particular groups or whatever might not be supportive. I'm sure they are. But my issue with them is that when you're not doing the thing, you feel like you're not doing it. Like, oh yeah, well, I've stopped, so that's why I've stopped going to that for a bit, so I've put weight on, or I've stopped having those shakes, so now I don't feel like my energy is as good, or whatever it is, that it's designed for you to rely on them to have to continually pay for the product. And that's why I wanted to create my own challenges that were something that you paid to do, and that hopefully you left with a lot more information and knowledge about how to build your own habits so that you could go and carry on with the things that you wanted to do on your own. Now, if you wanted to come back because it works better for you to have a group of people around you and to have that, then brilliant. But I didn't want it to be like you were obligated to be a part of something all the time, like even when maybe it's not the right time in your life, but that you could still get the results you wanted by rinsing and repeating the same stuff that you'd learn with me. I think that's the main thing for me, is that you're not continually tied in to something. So what to do? Maybe let's talk about scale weight first of all. You have been trying to cut down on what you've eaten. You know that you need to eat a bit less than you need. You've done so, it started off okay and now it's not changing anymore. Maybe it didn't change in the first place. And let's talk about the reasons why this might be happening. First thing we're going to address, which I'd say is probably the thing that most things come down to, is how do you know if you're in a deficit or not? So whatever happens, whatever anyone tells you, in order to lose weight and to lose body fat, you need to eat slightly less food than you need. Obviously, there are other things that come into it, like food quality for the other nutrients that you need, high protein to maintain your muscle mass, all the other things that we've talked about. But essentially, just to lose weight, we need to be in a deficit. And how do we know that we're in one? I can't answer that for you, because it depends on what you're prepared to do and what you're doing in your life. So if we're not 100% sure that we're in a deficit, we need to have a look at what we're eating over the day, because it is completely possible to eat only healthy food and still not be in a deficit. It's completely possible to do that, because there are things that healthy is such a subjective word. So what someone has learned to be healthy, someone else might not think it is, and vice versa. And actually, as you know, I don't think there are any bad foods, and I think everything in moderation is great. But for example, if you've done a certain slimming program before, there are some of their carbohydrates you get unlimited quantities of. And there's nothing wrong with that source of carbohydrate. It's a great source of carb, but it does have calories in it. And so if you are packing in the heat on, let's say, pasta or potatoes or whatever, that probably or possibly isn't going to have you in a deficit if you're going unlimited on the carbohydrate when you don't really need it because you're not training that much, for example. So it's just being aware and revisiting the stuff that we talked about before. If you're tracking your food and you're tracking it accurately, you'll know if you're in a deficit or not. You'll be able to check the maths on it. So that's one thing that can help a little bit with tracking. And if you've never tracked before, sometimes I think it's even worth doing it for 2 to 3 days, as long as you're not adverse to kind of tracking at all, like for any sort of past history with it or anything. But if we can track at least for a little bit, then we get used to eyeballing our food and being like, right, okay. Or even things like when we are eating pasta, which I know I've spoken to you guys about before. Pasta is one of those things that your average person eats way more than what's the suggested portion. So when you look at the packet and it gives you either a dried or a wet weight, or a cooked weight of pasta, that's your portion for your average person. And most of the time, sometimes they base it on someone who's eating 2,000 calories a day, and sometimes they base it on someone who's eating 2,500. So even just little things like that, like working out exactly what a portion of pasta actually looks like, rather than just having like such a huge bowl full that actually we've just ended up eating 800, 900 calories in one meal, because our pasta, we ate so much pasta. But obviously, if you're eating, let's say you're eating whole grain pasta with loads of different veggies in and a chicken breast, some red sauce, like homemade passata sauce, with all those lovely veggies in, and you've had the tiniest sprinkling of cheese on the top, you're going to be like, I ate really healthily tonight. And you did. They're all really high quality ingredients. But if you're overeating even in that one meal, you could easily have 800, 900 calories on the plate. Not necessarily a big deal at all. But if you're short and your kind of calorie intake for your diet is around 1,500 a day, you're only left with 600 calories for the rest of the day after that, 600, 700 calories. You've got two meals, maybe you want a snack here or there. You know, there's quite a lot to fit in when you're having such a huge amount of calories in one meal. And again, there's nothing wrong with having a huge amount of calories in one meal. Like, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, just to be aware of how things work. The other thing to look at is have things crept in again. Excuse me. So if you're thinking at the beginning, you cut out all your midweek drinking, you stopped eating slices of cheese every time you walk past the fridge, whatever it is, that's just talking about myself. you did all these little things that really did cut out quite a lot of the calories that you're eating over a day. And then they started to creep in again. So it was just, going for that one or two glasses of wine on a Wednesday. And actually, I really miss having a biscuit in the afternoon with my tea and with my cup of tea, whatever it is. And again, these are small things. These are really small things when you look at the overall calories, probably about 90 calories a portion, depending on the biscuit and the glass of wine, 100 and something. So it's small amounts. But if it's creeping in very many times in very many situations over the week, that can completely get rid of your calorie deficit that you're in. So you're having these boring, shitty meals that you wish you didn't have to eat, and you want all this other stuff. And then these other bits and pieces are creeping in back in, which mean that you're no longer in a calorie deficit, and you're livid because you're eating this really, like, you're really sticking to it, you're doing all this stuff, and it is annoying when you're not getting the results that you want. So understandably, you're going to get frustrated. So just go back through and see what is creeping back in again. Another thing is if you're eating practically nothing all week and then you get to the weekend and you can barely contain yourself, that can also just get rid of the calorie deficit. You can cycle your calories, so you eat less in the week to save yourself some room to have more fun stuff happen on the weekend. So that's completely a way of doing it. But if you're, for example, starving yourself on some ridiculous amount of calories a day, Monday to Thursday, by the time you get to Friday, you're going to smell that bacon roll in the office and you're going to eat 25 of them because it's natural. You'll be so hungry, you won't be able to control yourself. And part of this is we kind of need to get to know each other. We need to get to know ourselves a bit better. For example, I know that I had a coach once that wanted me to fast every Sunday morning. I can delay my breakfast a fraction to allow a bit of extra time because I eat quite a lot of food. A bit of extra time for my digestion and so on. I can do that, and that's completely feasible. But she wanted me to fast until after midday on a Sunday. And I've got to be honest, I did it. I absolutely did it. She wanted me to try it, so I did it. I am not joking. As soon as 12 struck, I would have ate dry pasta out the cupboard. I was so hungry. Like, breakfast for me is a really important thing. I know it's not for everybody, but for me, it's something that I wake up and I think, yeah, I'm hungry. I want my breakfast. Like, within seconds of waking up, if someone walked in with a fryer 1 minute past my wake time, I'd eat it. Like, I can eat at any second after I've woken up. No, probably not a fry up, actually. I don't love them. They're fine, but whatever. But I couldn't control myself. So then my first meal would be like 1,000 calories. I'd be bloated. I'd feel awful. It was just... And the point of it was to try to help me have my body have time to digest food for longer so that I felt better. But inevitably, I didn't feel better. So it's trying to find what works for you, but still sticking to what's actually the things that are going to make the difference, like being in this calorie deficit, like making sure that we're not, we cut out. We know we've got a thing for... Let's pick mayonnaise. We know we've got a thing for mayonnaise. We can eat a jar over 3 days. So we've cut it right down and we've gone for the light version. But now we're eating a jar of light mayo over 2 days. It's trying to be kind of aware of what the things that we're doing and how they're having an impact on other stuff. Also sleep. You need to sleep. Whatever it is, whatever your goal is. Check your sleep pattern, check your sleep hygiene. If you're coming in to me and saying, oh yeah, I average 4 hours a night, but I'm not losing any weight, and I really want to, we need to get your sleep sorted. That would be my first and foremost thing, is to try to get it so you're getting what you need, because it's really difficult for you to balance all of your hunger, hormones, your energy levels, everything, if you're not getting enough sleep. So first and foremost, we need to get that nailed. When we're talking about other goals, so things like trying to get stronger, maybe you want to be more toned, whatever it is, we need to look at whether you are actually showing up how you think you are. And that comes down to the kitchen, because obviously you need to be eating enough protein. If you want to get stronger, you need to be eating enough calories. If you want to look, maybe you're trying to lose a bit of body fat, therefore have more visible muscle, obviously we need to be in a deficit. And we need to know that you're showing up for your training. Now, all of our goals are relative to where we are and where we want to be. But we do need to make sure that we are, if we have any of these two goals, so to look stronger, to feel stronger, for example, we need to be doing what's called progressive overload. So things need to be always a little bit too hard for us. And as you can imagine, over time, what is hard for you changes. So what you're doing to achieve that feeling needs to change. So everything needs to be just that, right at that end of difficult, where we're like either struggling to finish it, or we know we're about to struggle to finish it. Like, we can feel ourselves being like, bloody hell. And obviously when you first start, you'll get that from a body weight lunge. Stepping back, do that 12 times. You're like, shit a brick. This is brutal. Wind the clock on 8 or 9 years, you're not going to get that from 12 bodyweight lunges. You're going to need some weight on there. You're going to need something happening to make it more difficult. So that's what progressive overload means, is that we are constantly kind of either adding in a little extra rep, adding some weight on it, whatever it is that we're doing to make it more difficult, that we are trying to keep that feeling of it always being very tricky for us. And if we're training at home, that can be difficult for us without investing in more equipment. I see a lot of people, like I follow people who are like, I've got my physique and they are ripped and stacked. I don't just mean like they've got a set of 5 kilo dumbbells at home. They are stacked. But they've got a full range of dumbbells from 2 kilos to 30. They've got a full rack of gym dumbbells. They're not. So when people are saying to you, I've got this physique solely from home workouts, it might be, yeah, it might be true, but it's probably not true. Well, if they're stacked, if they've got a lot of muscle and they look very, very muscular and like in really, really like incredible shape, they haven't done that with 2 5-kilo dumbbells, I'm telling you now. So we need to just have that in our heads that, yeah, we can absolutely train at home. We can maintain our strength. We can get stronger from a beginner level. We can get really strong at home if we're prepared to invest in that equipment. But for a lot of people, it may become easier to go to a gym or to go to a class where there's equipment, for example, for some of their workouts at least, because you do have to keep buying stuff in some shape, way or form. And that can be a bit difficult for people. Now, for example, I've got I've got 24 sets of barbells with extra plates. And over when we were all stuck at home, obviously I trained at home, so I had access to 40 kilograms of bar. Now, I did everything I could with those bars. I did everything. I went to single leg, blah, blah, blah. I worked really, really hard. Thing for me is I do have scoliosis, and a lot of fixed resistance machines in the gym help me with exercises that I can't do with free weights because of my back. So for example, to really target my quads, I need the leg extension. Like I can do varieties of stuff that help to have exercises that help to target it, but I definitely fare better with that gym equipment. So for some people, their gym might become something that they need later down the line. You need a structured plan. So we're not just flitting around doing whatever we fancy whenever we want. If you're telling me that you want to come in because you want stronger glutes or bigger glutes or whatever it is, we actually need to change. We need to train the arse, and we need to do it in an effective manner that allows for recovery, but also helps us to overload the muscle. We need to hit it from different angles, as it were. There's very many things that we need to think about, so you will need a structured plan. So if you do need help with your programming, obviously I've got like my general programs, which are massively based off my client base. So it's what they needed and programs I wrote for them. So it isn't just programs that I've just, you know, made up. Well, I have made them up, but I've thought, oh, that will do. It's like, what can I do to help these particular people with the things that they're struggling with? So like back strength, posterior chain, so glutes, hamstrings, they sit down a lot during the day. They've got limited equipment at home versus some of them might also go to the gym once a week or twice a week. So it's all based around them. So if you need a structured plan, come and find me. That's my flex program. Anyway, you also need to look at your sleep and your recovery. And that means that you're leaving enough time in between your workouts to sleep, to recuperate. And if you're working like a 10-hour day, for example, you're working 10 hours at work, you're training, and then you're trying to fit your cardio in, doing all your food prep, and then you're ending up with 5 hours sleep. Then we need to look at how we can kind of rearrange stuff and that, and like get things a lot more fluid for where you're at with stuff. Excuse me, I need to have a sip. Excuse me, there we go. Right, if you're talking about your cardio, a lot of people that I train will potentially be doing something to do with running and something to do with returning to sport. For actually two or three of them, it's netball. So I'm just going to kind of relate it to these two things. Firstly, you need a structured plan, especially if you're looking to increase that you're running or to increase your access to the sport that you want to play. So you need a structured plan to either get into it or to return to it. And that might be introducing movement patterns that you haven't done for a long time, or it might be that you haven't run at all ever. So you're starting walking and then you're doing fartlek training. So you're doing a bit of running, a bit of walking, and then you're trying a short run. Like, we look to increase things very gradually over time. So you've got your structured plan for your cardio, but you do also need to do resistance training to decrease your risk of injury. So it might be that you're not finding that your cardio is improving or your output's improving, particularly in the sport or the running that you're trying to do. But actually, what we could do is try to include some resistance training that is going to help to improve your performance. So things like your endurance over time, even just your strength, your core, your power, things like that. We can use resistance training to help with that. There might be things, skills that you need to cover to help to improve that performance. So with running, for example, are there things that you need to look at to improve your running style? Are there, do you need to get new footwear? Do you need to have your gait assessed? Do you need to think about, again, like rehabby stuff or resistance training? Maybe you are, say you're doing netball and you need to do more side-to-side movements, more plyometrics and more jumping. Maybe you need to work on your explosivity or your sprint, like from standing, because you have to cover quite a lot of the court. So there are different drills and skills that you might include in your training to help get you better for the actual thing you're doing. And then we need to look at your frequency. So for some people, it might be that you're doing too much, especially if you have access to it easily. So for example, running. If you're running every single day, you're probably, or potentially, unless you're an athlete, not having enough time to recover or to put the time into your resistance training. So we're looking to have a balance. But for a lot of other people, it might be that we need to try to increase the frequency somewhat. So let's say, for example, you're going to play football on a Monday and then you're not doing anything the rest of the week. Actually, what we could probably do with is getting a couple more cardio sessions in over the week to increase your cardio output so that you, one, are able to recover. So these would be quite short sessions, might be like a 10 to 15 minute jog or whatever it is. But we need to try to help that one session, football or netball, whatever, by getting in a little bit more cardio. It might be that we need to then look at our resistance program and how we're going to assist ourselves to feel better and to train the muscles we need more. So there are always things that we can do when we feel stuck. It is frustrating, and I don't want you to feel like I don't understand how frustrating it is. I do get it 100%, because sometimes when you're stuck in a little position or you have to keep working at something for a while, and I know that feeling very well, like with all the rehab that I do, you can feel a bit stuck and like things aren't going forward, but you need to build the foundations to be able to get access to the results that you want. So sometimes we're kind of bypassing that, especially with dieting, commercial diets, you're bypassing a lot of the habit forming that you need to go through in order to have a lifestyle that is with you forever. So someone's just giving you this strict set of rules. They're saying, follow this and do exactly what I tell you, you're going to get what you want. Then you stop going to that group and you don't have the habits because they just gave you these rules and they didn't really explain why. And actually, once those rules aren't done altogether, they don't work very well. So we're only, probably when we do stuff, we're only keeping on with small parts of it. And actually, you'd be better off trying to build some nice habits that do you well in life and potentially seeing results that happen slightly slower but are more consistent over time in order for you to get the results that you want and to feel that you have that control and you have that knowledge around the topics that you're working on. Okay, I'm going to be a little bit quieter and leave you to it, and also because I've talked for ages, so it's probably time for me to shut up. But I hope that's helped. If you ever have any questions, do always feel free to reach out, and have a fantastic week. Speak to you soon.